We said a number of years ago, I mean the church in general, and I know I'm speaking a lot in generalities today. There are exceptions to all these things, but we said as a church-wide church, give the gay lobby and the atheist and the socialist and the progressives what they want, and maybe they'll leave us in peace. But our toleration is not their toleration. We can leave them alone in their sin, but they cannot tolerate our righteousness. And I'm not talking about self-righteousness. They cannot tolerate our righteousness. They must destroy us to feel good about their darkness because they hate our light and truth. We are at war. We are. Most Christians don't understand this. We are at war. We're not going to be at war. We're in it right now. Some people say just hunker down, stay out of politics, and don't address these issues. I don't believe God established government, and if you know the Bible at all, you know He did. I don't believe He established government and then told Christians to stay out of it. We're to be a witness, not to withdraw. Even though it does make us all sick. Jude said, contend for the faith. So we can put all our trust in the Lord and be sure. We can put on the whole armor of God and fight. And thirdly, you can put your eyes on the Lord and pray. Psalm 11 in verse 4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. He's on His throne in His holy temple, and He's not moving a bit. He is where your stability is. He is what you will be able to count on for all of eternity. Seeking God in His word and prayer is the answer to everything. We cannot dumb down the gospel to appease people. The woke cancel culture needs to be woke to God and cancel their sin. And if we don't say it, they're not going to do it. They're going to go on in their delusions. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What a promise! If Christians believed this verse, America could be saved. But we must not at this point. We don't do it with the arm of the flesh. This is how we do it. The dead, dry condition of the church is directly related to the sinful condition and dead prayer life of the church. God's blessings are always linked to the prayer and obedience of God's people. The homosexuals, the Muslims, the atheists, and the Democrats and Republicans and socialists, they do not totally determine what happens in our country. They are the scavengers that feed on the darkness and deadness that people who won't follow God leave in their wake. We are the only thing that can bring life and light to this dark culture. And we have to remember Luke 21:28. Now, when these things begin to happen, they're happening, church. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. What a promise. If you're in Christ, what a terror if you're not. Everybody's walking around. What is this world coming to? I'll tell you what it's coming to. It's coming to Jesus because Jesus is coming to this world. And you either come to Him before He comes or it's not going to go well. So the righteous can put all your trust in the Lord and be sure. You can put on your armor and fight. You can put your eyes on the Lord and pray. And here's the last thing. It's kind of long and it doesn't rhyme. Pass your test and compassionately separate from wickedness. Psalm 11:4, the second part says, His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence His soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. I didn't think I was a fire and brimstone preacher till I just read that verse. I guess I am. The nation can't have an awakening unless the church is repentant. Judgment begins with the house of God, the scripture says. What is God dealing with you about? Not with them. What's God dealing with you about? Yes, I'm pointing my finger at you. What is God? I've got all those fingers pointing back at me. It's true. But I'm asking myself that same question. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. If people don't believe what I say, I don't get mad at them. I feel sad if people don't believe this word. I don't get mad. When God gives us a test, He gives us the answer key. But we must come out from among them and be separate. We cannot partake of their sin. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Everybody says, Oh, I know the Lord, I know the Lord. That isn't the big question. The big question is, does He know you? I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I know that I know that I know the Lord. But the more awesome question is, does He know me? And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God hates wickedness and violence. He hates it. Well, that was the Old Testament God, Pastor. New Testament scripture, God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That's New Testament for you. When I say compassionately separate, here's what I mean. I mean, be clear whose side you're on. Draw a line. Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And there was a guy and 250 great leaders that decided, you know what, Moses? You're not the only one God talks to. God can lead through us too. He speaks to us. And here's some things we think we ought to be doing. And here's some ways of sacrificing and all that kind of stuff. We think we can do that just as good as you. But they were wrong. They were off serving themselves. And God told Moses to tell them this. Numbers 16:26. And He spoke to the congregation saying, Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. That would be a good Sunday night reading for you. Go read the story of Korah. You know what happened to Korah that leader and 250 other leaders. Everybody got away from him. Moses said, you guys get over here. You don't want to be over there. Get over here. They all came over to Moses that were on the Lord's side, and the ground opened up and swallowed Korah, their tents, their families, everything related to them. The New Testament God is the same God as the Old Testament God. What does that mean practically? Here's what that means practically. You have a friend. I have a friend like this I love deeply, who says to me, I'm a gay Christian. Here's what that means. You draw a line. You say, honey, I love you. There's the line. I'm waiting for you right here. I'll receive you and love you. I can't be on that side of the line. I can't be where the lightning's going to hit. You have a friend. I have many in this category, or family, that say, you know what? We just don't feel like we should get married. We're just going to live together. We're going to live in fornication. Or, you know, I didn't really, my wife didn't really meet all my needs, so I'm going to have an adulterous affair with this woman. And God understands my heart. He knows that my needs aren't being met. And so we're going to do this. Here's what you do. As someone that loves them, you say, look, here's the line. I can't stay here with you. I'm going over here. I'm waiting for you. I love you. But if you're going to stay on that side of the line, I can't be where the ground's going to open up. You need to come here quick. You have a friend, and I'm sure you do, that says, well, I don't think Jesus is the only way. I pray, I go to church, I read my Bible and stuff, but, you know, is Jesus really the only way? Here's the line, my friend. I love you, but I got to go over here. I'm ready to receive you. Come. But I can't be there when the implosion of your life occurs. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, the Lord says. Quit trying to work everything out yourself. God has provided for everything that you need. Everything. He's left nothing out. Silence can be sin. I know we don't want, I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter. I don't want to get in controversies and battles with people. I really don't. But eternal souls are at stake. And so we need to pray, we need to speak, we need to pull out our Bibles, we need to do whatever is needed. We need to tell our neighbors, our family, clearly, that there's another way. It's only one way. It's a narrow way. But there is a way that anybody can come. But you have to come. Psalm 68, verse 1 says, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Listen, I believe the gospel is good news to anyone who's willing to repent. And it is a vibe-killing, eternal death sentence to those who aren't. Nobody wants you to kill their vibe. I'd rather kill their vibe than kill their soul. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. The gospel divides. He is coming as a warrior king to rule with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of his wrath and destroy all unrighteousness with a sword that's coming out of his mouth. Well, my Jesus is a God of love. Mine is too. He loves his people so fiercely that he will destroy all who would rape and pillage his bride. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? This is Jesus talking. Avenge? Yes, this is Jesus saying this. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Don't, my friend, do not confuse God bearing with us for approval. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find it in you? Will he find it in this church? I think the answer is yes for me. I'm going to do my very best to see that the answer is yes for this church. The end verse in our text says, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. I love that passage in 2 Chronicles that says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to find somebody whose heart is loyal to him. What will his eyes see when they alight on you? Will they see a heart that is loyal to him? God is searching for that in the whole earth. My final scripture. The singers can go ahead and come. Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 27. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know what I see throughout the body of Christ? I see a lot of people that began to build. I see a lot of people that said, of course I want to be saved. Sign me up. Of course I want my life to be better and enhanced and to be blessed and prospered. But that picking up my cross thing, that's a different story. I don't know if I'm signing up for that. Beloved, if you're not signing up for that, you're not signed up. You're just not. And then at the very end of that passage in verse 33, Jesus talking, likewise, whoever of you, doesn't matter if you make a lot of money, a little money, if you're the pastor, if you're a new convert, it says, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Whew, that's stout. But that's Jesus that said that. Jesus said that. Not the fire and brimstone preacher. Jesus said that. Well, I kind of wanted to make you happy today, but I didn't, I don't think. But the truth is, it isn't up to me. Would you bow your head, please? Oh God. Oh God. We have to be a people that can walk in joy and peace and love, and at the same time understand the enormity of what is going on around us and the enormity of the lostness of the lost and the deadness of the church and the things that are propelling us so quickly to destruction. God, we don't have answers, but we do have your word that has all the answers. But we need more than the ability to read it and acknowledge it. God, we need your Holy Spirit to empower us to live it. I truly believe without you, I can do nothing. And none of us can. I pray you speak to every heart this morning. As part of this altar call, while your heads are bowed, I want to ask, if there's a person in this room that you don't know, that you know, that you know, that you know, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. It's time for you to get it taken care of. You can give your life to Jesus right now and be born again and be sure of eternal life. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you're taking a stand and saying, I'm giving my life to Christ right now. No turning back, no turning back. Going once. All right, then everybody here is either a believer or you just don't want to admit it. Are you one of those people that were raised well, taught well, know the truth, but the way your lifestyle is would bring shame to your parents and the Lord? Because you've adjusted what you know is true to accommodate your own lifestyle. I'm not going to ask you to stand up except in your heart. I'm going to ask you to make a decision this morning in the presence of Almighty God to repent and return to what the old timers used to call the old paths. The way you know that you know that you know is true. And finally, in this altar call, I'd like to have everyone stand. And I'd like for us to take a few moments to cry out to the Lord together, to raise our voices to God for revival. And while we're doing it, say, God, adjust me. Change me. Change what I need to be changed in my life so I can be effective in this war. So I'd like us to just verbally begin to cry out to the Lord. If you can pray in tongues, feel free to do that loud. This is not the kind of tongues that needs to be interpreted for the congregation at this point. We're praying. So let's begin to cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Bless you, Almighty God. We come before you, Almighty God. We need you, Almighty God. Have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on our church. Have mercy on my soul, O God. Move in our midst, O God. Move in our midst. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Raise up your leaders. Raise up your people, your men of God, your women of God that will stand in the gap and cry out for this nation and cry out for our families and our church and our own souls, O God. Move in us, O God. Come, Holy Spirit, come by your might, by your power, God. That's the only way we can do it. We have no power in our arm. The power is in your arm, O God. Move your arm, O God. Have mercy. Be gentle with us, God. We're like children. We don't know our left hand from our right hand. We need you so desperately, God, to show us our next steps, to show us what we need to do. Oh, God, I pray for those that are bound by iniquity tonight. Maybe not overt, outward sin that most people would just look down on, but in their hearts, they're just planning things and they have their eyes set on things that you would never set their eyes on, God. I pray, God, that you come and you pull that iniquity out and have mercy on them, on me, on us, oh God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, we're going to have the worship team play whatever song they're playing. And if you need to come and find a place to pray up here, cry out to God, please do that. And I'll come and close us in a moment. If anybody needs me to pray with them over here, I'll be over here.
Deliverance.
I don't even know how to end a service like this. I know it's a little solemn. I believe in joy. I believe in laughing. I believe in having a good time. I believe in celebrating. We got great reason to celebrate today. But I believe, above all, in obeying God. You got people you need to forgive, get it done. You've got situations you need to correct, correct them. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get it done. Get it done in your heart before you leave this place. Get it done in reality after you leave this place. Father, I thank you for these precious people. We are the body of Christ, and we're so messed up. But you are the healer. You are the one who knits us together when it looks impossible. You are the one that forgives and gives us the ability to forgive. You're the one we can count on. So we look to you. Your throne hasn't moved. Your throne won't move. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.